doesn't seek anything outside of himself. Because everything's within himself. God is within. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Ridesh Arjuna Tishtati, Ramayan Sarvabhutani, Yashuvudani Mahaya. Krishna says in 18th chapter, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, Ridesh Arjuna, Rideshi, Ridesh Arjuna Tishtati. Tishtati means like stan, Tishtan means to stand. So Ridesh, Desh means country or place, right? Apka Janam Deshe, or Kyahe, what is your birthplace? Ridhidesh means standing in the heart, in the land of the heart. Ridhidesh Arjuna Tishtati. Krishna is telling Arjuna, I am sitting in your heart. In other words, God's in our heart. We all know that. God is in the heart. Simplify it. So the devotee, he looks within. He sees within. He sees God within the heart. And he finds fulfillment there. He finds satisfaction there in Krishna Seva. And he becomes Atmaram. He becomes very Raman, very satisfied. When you're satisfied, when you're happy, and you're peaceful, and you're not empty, you're complete, you're full, and you don't need anything, you don't need anyone, you don't want anything, you don't want anyone, you're not looking for anything, you found it. They say in the Bible, the kingdom of God lies within you. So what is the meaning of the kingdom of God? It means absolute fulfillment, absolute satisfaction, absolute perfection, absolute peace, absolute happiness, absolute completeness. This is the kingdom of God. That's what we want here in this material world. Prabhupada said we want the kingdom of God here, but without God. We want the kingdom, but without God and without God's seva. In other words, we want absolute peace. We want absolute happiness. We want absolute fulfillment. We want all those things. But the only way to get those things is from God. It's to realize God. So Krishna is being described with this word, Atmaram, because he's self-satisfied. He doesn't need the gopis. He doesn't want the gopis. He's not incomplete. Oh, if I don't have the gopi, if I don't dance with the gopi tonight, I'll be incomplete. I won't be happy. There's something missing. Like some people say, you'll hear karmis or non-devotees say, oh, there's something missing in my life. Or they advertise, is there something missing in your life? Maybe you need a change. You need a change. Maybe you should change your wife. Or get a new wife. Or get a new husband. Or change your job. Or go for a travel. Go for a vacation. You need a change. And of course, we're always changing. So they try to satisfy their needs by changing things and looking. So only the devotee, Krishna Bhakti Naishkama. Because Naishkama means he has no material desire. He has Krishna. When you have Krishna, you have everything. So Sukadeva Goswami is trying to make the point that Krishna's not incomplete. He wasn't like some of these other gopis that are saying, oh, Krishna's lusty here. He ran off with the Radharani. He simply is trying to teach a lesson to the devotees and give pleasure to his greatest devotee, Aradhana. Aradhana, Radharani is the greatest worshipper, the greatest servant, and the greatest lover of Krishna. So Krishna wants to reciprocate and please her and make her happy. Why is he making flower crowns for her? He's brushing her hair, decorating her hair. It's for her pleasure. He's making pushpa, what's it called? Chuda Yata Kantam. He's making a pushpa mukut, flower crown, brushing her hair, Sringhar Seva, Kesh Seva, brushing her hair, picking some flowers, putting flowers in her hair, Bukul flowers, Malati flowers, Jati, making nice, fragrant hair. It's not for his pleasure, it's for her, for the pleasure of Radharani. So, this verse, Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi, although he enjoyed only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. So devotees become like that. If Krishna is like that, and we become Krishna Das or Krishna Dasi, we become complete and satisfied within ourselves. That's why devotees are very peaceful and very happy and joyful. Brahma Buddha Prasanatma. Brahma Buddha Prasanatma, na sochiti na kankshiti. Na sochiti na kankshiti. We don't hanker, we don't lament. Hankering means I want something, I need something, I'm incomplete, I'm not full. Lamenting means, oh, I had something and I lost it. I wish I had it again. Still incomplete, not full. The devotee, Brahma Buddha Prasan Atma. This again is Atmaram, Atmaram Prasan Atma. See, when Atmaram or Prasan. Prasan, Ram is same. Prasan Atma or Atmaram. So this is Brahma Buddha. When one comes to Brahman platform, transcendental platform. So what moves the devotee? Why is the devotee moved? He's self-satisfied. He moves for Krishna's pleasure. Just like, what moves Krishna? Why does Krishna move? If he's self-satisfied, up and around, why does he move? To serve his devotee, to please his devotee. So he's serving and moving to please Radharani, Radhadasyam. It's in Gaudiya Siddhanta. Gaudiya Siddhanta is Radhadasyam, Radhadasi, Manjri Bhav, Gopi Bhav. So this is Gaudiya Siddhanta. Gaudiya Siddhanta is Radhadasyam. So Krishna himself is Radhadasi. Shringar Seva, Kesh Seva, all this Seva. So Krishna is satisfied, Atmaram, but he moves to serve his devotees. So devotees are also Atmaram. Atmaramas Chamuniyo. Atmaramas Chamuniyo, the munis, the devotees, the great sages, bhaktas, Vaishnavas. They are self-satisfied, very happy, shanti, peaceful, shuk, shanti. But they move to serve Krishna. They move to please him. And they move to serve Radharani. So, thus, by contrast, Krishna showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. Srinam chaiva duratmatim. Duratmatam. Srinam chaiva duratmatam. Duratmatam. Duratma. We have prasanatma and we have duratma. Duratma means bad soul. Mahatma means mahatma. We have mahatma means great soul. And duratma means bad soul. Or what's here is hard-heartedness. Dura also means, we have an English word called durable, right? Durable. And there's a battery called Duracell. Ever hear this battery called Duracell? This word dura means, of course in Hindi you say kitna dure, how far. So dura means far, means bad, and also means hard. Something is very hard, durable. In English they say durable. Something is durable, it's long-lasting, it's hard. So duratmatam, duratmatam means hard-hearted. Your atma is hard. It's dur, dur atma. It's like mahatma. Mahatma means your atma is maha, is great. What is your atma? Your heart, your mind, your body, your soul. So the translation here in English is hard-hearted. Srinam duratmatam. Because Krishna is showing he's not an ordinary hard-hearted woman and a ordinary lusty man, as mentioned here, they're very wretched and low and empty and trying to squeeze pleasure from each other because they're incomplete and dissatisfied and not peaceful. They're agitated. They're agitated and disturbed. So they're in a very wretched condition. So they'll go to any length, go to any length to do anything simply to satisfy or try to make themselves complete, find completeness. But that's not what's driving Krishna. Krishna's not moving. He's not moving or going to Radharani because of wretchedness. He's not driven by wretchedness. He's not driven by incompleteness. He's driven by pure love to simply serve Radharani and please her. He could just sit by himself and feel completely happy and completely peaceful and whole and perfect. It's like people meet us and they say, oh, you're a devotee? Are you peaceful? First thing they say is, are you peaceful? You say, well, are you? And then they say, what does it mean? Then you ask them, what do you mean by peaceful? What is peace? Well, I mean, you know, and then you try to find out what they mean, then you can respond. Purport. This verse directly refutes the superficial criticism materialistic people sometimes direct against Lord Krishna's pastimes. The philosopher Aristotle claims that ordinary activities are unworthy of God. And with this idea in mind, some people declare that since the activities of Lord Krishna resemble those of ordinary human beings, it cannot be the absolute truth. So Krishna's Leela in this Vrindavan is called Nara Leela. And we say Narahari, half man, half lion, right? We say Narahari, Lord Nisringadeva, Narahari. So Nara means man, like Narayan. Restored Narayana, Lord Narayan, he's the source of all living entities. All living entities, Ayana, they come from him. Nara, man, living entities. So Krishna's pastimes here, they're human-like. He has a girlfriend, or so many girlfriends. He plays music, he dances, he steals butter, and does so many wonderful things that people do, but they're completely transcendental. And to hear about Krishna's pastimes, in other words, one of the proofs of Krishna's pastimes are transcendental is like this. If you read about Krishna's pastimes with gopis and his loving pastimes, what happens to your consciousness? what happens to your heart? You become elevated, you become purified, and you become transcendentally inspired. But if you hear about the pastimes of a lusty man and a lusty woman, you simply become degraded. You become filled with more lust. Your lust increases, not decreases. And your passion to enjoy increases, not decreases. Besides, Dhiraj Prasad, Jai Mahavi Prasad, Jai. Jai Ho, Jai Ho. So there's obviously a difference in qualities of the pastimes of Krishna, although externally or superficially they may resemble human pastimes or Nara Leela. But the effect of associating with those pastimes are completely opposite. Like what they have in the modern world, they have what they call romance novels. And people read that, and what happens? They become very lusty. Men and women become very, it increases their lust, increases their passion, increases their dissatisfaction, increases their dissatisfaction. Why don't you move over, and then everyone can sit on this mat. You want to sit on the mat? The mat is here, a big empty space. That's for somebody else. You can be near Gopal also. Close to Gopal. Sukadeva Goswami is trying to point out in a very explicit way that the pastimes of Krishna are not in any way same as human-like pastimes. In this verse, Sukadeva Goswami emphatically points out that Lord Krishna acts on the liberated platform of spiritual self-satisfaction. This fact is indicated by the Sanskrit words atma-rata, atma-ram, and akandita. It is inconceivable to ordinary people that a handsome young boy and a beautiful young girl enjoying romantic conjugal affairs in the forest moonlight can be engaging in pure activity, free from egoistic desire and lust. Inconceivable. Yet, while Krishna is inconceivable to ordinary persons, those who love him can easily realize the absolute pure nature of his activity. One may argue that, quote, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. In other words, well, you devotees, you say it's okay what he does. You say it's okay, but we don't say it. We, because you love him and you think it's beautiful. But we don't love him and we think it's reprehensible. We think it's abominable what he does, what he did. So how to reconcile? And therefore, they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And that therefore the devotees of Krishna are only imagining Lord's activity to be pure. This argument ignores many significant facts. For one, the path of Krishna consciousness, developing love for Krishna, demands that a devotee strictly follow the four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and no eating meat, fish, or eggs. When one is freed from material lust and rises to the liberated platform beyond material desire, one realizes the absolute beauty of Lord Krishna. So if you want to realize the absolute beauty, the spiritual transcendental beauty of Lord Krishna, then you have to do what? You have to become free, yes, follow those principles, and then become free from material lust, and then come to the liberated platform beyond material desire. Then you will realize, realize the beauty of Krishna, because Krishna's beauty is completely pure and transcendental. So for us to realize transcendental purity and beauty, we must become, we must become pure and transcendental, rise above. Well, it takes a little time. This process is not theoretical. It has been practiced and completed by many thousands of great sages, who have left us their shining example and their brilliant teachings concerning the path of Krishna consciousness. Certainly beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You understand this phrase? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So, you know beauty. So the idea is that this is my eye and I'm beholding it. I hold this eye. So I think my wife is very beautiful. I look at my wife and I say, she's very, very beautiful. So in my eye, I behold my wife. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So who's looking, who's beholding, he considers it subjective, in other words. It's your opinion. I look and say, oh, she's very beautiful. Now my friend comes to me and says, I said, what do you think of my wife? She's beautiful, isn't she? And then he says, well, you want my honest opinion? As far as my eyes tell me, my eyes behold that your wife is ugly, that my wife is much more beautiful. And he calls her in, see? So like that, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What you consider beautiful, I don't. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Look at that horse. He said, that's just a horse. I think it's ugly. You know, what's so beautiful about a horse? No, the tail, you know, the neck and, you know, you think horses are beautiful. In your eye, a horse is beautiful. But in my eye, a swan is beautiful or whatever. So that's for the phrase. So the devotees look at Krishna, oh, it's beautiful. It's pure, it's transcendental. The non-devotee looks at Krishna, he says, it's abominable, it's dirty, it's filthy. God couldn't do this. Why is he doing that? So it's a subjective view. So now they're trying to explain that. Certainly beauty is in the eye of the beholder. However, real beauty is perceived by the soul's eye and not the lusty eye of the material body. Therefore, the Vedic literature repeatedly stresses that only those who are free from material desire can see the beauty of Lord Krishna with the eye of the pure soul. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena samsakta devaridiyeshu vilokayanti yamshama sundarama chintyagana surupam govindamari purusham samaham bhajam. Premanjana. When our eye has anjana, has the ointment, like sometimes you get an infection, I give you a little tube of Neosporin or something, and he puts this ointment in your eye, and then it cleans the cyst or whatever you have there, and you can see again. I see clearly. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Vilochanena means to see. So you see Krishna with the eye. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. You see Krishna with the eye of bhakti. Bhakti vilochanena. And the eye of bhakti, not just ordinary bhakti, like Karma Mishra Bhakti or some neophyte Kanishtha Bhakti, but it has to be premanjana, that eye of devotion. You have the eye of bhakti vilochanena. You have the eye of devotion. But there's anjan. Anjan means an ointment or a cream or a cream or an ointment, like medicine. And that's called prema. So you have to have prema bhakti. When you have prema bhakti, pure love, then you will see Krishna everywhere. Yomam pashyati sarvatra savam chamayi pashyati. When he sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. So this we want. We want to see Krishna everywhere, in every atom, in every heart, in every place. But that won't come until we have love. Just like the mother loves her child very dearly. The mother loves her child. So when she moves in the house and she sees his shoes and she sees his baseball bat and goes in the kitchen and she sees a bowl of half-eaten cornflakes and she sees a plate with cookies with bites out of them, and everywhere she goes she sees some remnant, something connected with her son, and she goes in the living room and she sees muddy footprints on the carpet, a brand new carpet. Oh, there's my son, So in this way, because she has love, she sees him everywhere. And even when she goes out somewhere, she goes shopping in the store in the mall, and she goes by a store and it's a kid's clothing store. And she looks in the window and she sees some little, garments, like children's clothing. Oh, she sees her son in those clothes. Oh, my son will look nice in that. Oh, he looks nice in that. But she just has so much love. So the devotee like that, when he has love for Krishna, he sees his Lord everywhere. The personal Ishtadev, his personal Ishtadev, Giridhari or Shyam or Govinda, he sees him everywhere. Because he has anjana, premanjana. That was mentioned here, the pure soul anointed with love of God, comes from that verse. It may finally be noted that upon realizing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one becomes free of all tinges of sex desire, a state of mind that can hardly result from meditating upon material sexual affairs, which we mentioned. One final note, the conjugal pastimes of Krishna perfectly round out his qualifications as the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Vedanta states that the Absolute Truth is the source of everything. Janmad yasya yataha. This is the first aphorism of the Vedas, Vedanta Sutra. Janmad yasya yataha. That the Absolute Truth is the source of everything. Janma is the source of birth. Janmad yasya yataha. So if everything comes from God, then sex must come from God, conjugal pleasure must come from God. How can God be without these things? Oh no, God doesn't have this. There's no sex, God has no sex, there's no conjugal pleasure. He just, you know, creates worlds and things, and he does creation and destruction, but this other department, that's down here. We made that, we created that. It's something special we did down here. Then he's not the supreme. He's not the absolute truth. The absolute truth is the summum bonum. It's a complete. Everything is included. Absolute means perfect. All inclusive. Nothing is excluded. Everything is included. There's nothing missing in the absolute truth. Krishna has all personal energies and he has all impersonal energies. God is personal and impersonal. To just say God is impersonal, Brahman, that's incomplete. Or to just say God is personal, that's also incomplete. So what does Lord Chaitanya say? Achintya beta beta tattva. Achintya beta abeta tattva. He's beta and abeta. He's one and he's different. He's personal, he's impersonal. But the ultimate understanding is God is personal. And from the personal form comes so many shaktis. Brasya shakti vidaya shuyate. Sabhaviki jnana bhava kriyacha. So many energies come from him. Some are personal, some are impersonal. So this is the full definition given by Lord Chaitanya. So that's why he's saying that the Vedanta states that the Absolute Truth is the source of everything. So certainly the Absolute Truth cannot lack any of the beautiful things of this world. It is only because romantic affairs exist in a pure spiritual form in the Absolute that they can manifest in a perverted material form in this world. The world is an upside reflection. The tree is standing on the lake, going up, and you look in the lake and look on the surface of the lake, the tree looks upside down. So here everything's upside down. What is, love here is actually lust. What is prema becomes kama. What is pure becomes impure. What is liberating becomes entangling. What is the source of bondage is the source of freedom. So the things that are source of bondage here and contaminating, those very same things when connected with Krishna are a source of liberation and freedom. Thus, the apparent beauty of this world is not to be absolutely rejected. Rather, beauty should be accepted in its pure spiritual form. Since the beginning of time, men and women have been inspired to poetic rapture by the art of romance. Unfortunately, romance in this world usually leads to crushing disappointment. Say bold words. Romance in this world usually leads to crushing disappointment, brought about by a change of heart or by death. Right? You fall in love with someone, and then his brother calls you on the phone and says, hello, I have some bad news for you. Your boyfriend was killed last night in a motorcycle crash. Is that crushing disappointment? Crushing bad news? It happens every day. Then you think, oh, well, how will I live? What is my everything? So this goes on all the time. And that's what he said, caused by death or change of heart. Today she loves me. I remember when we were little kids, we used to pick a flower. It wasn't very nice to the flower. We picked a piece of the flower up. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. You ever do that in Germany? I guess it would be, he loves me. He loves me not. Just like we say, I have no desire to accumulate wealth or any number of beautiful women. So Lord Chaitanya, that's his prayer. He's in the sannyas varna. So a sannyasi doesn't want to collect any number of women. So he's saying, what's that one? Nadana Najanam? Nadana Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Bhajagadi. So the ladies in the temple reading it, I have no desire to accumulate wealth or any number of followers. Or do I desire beautiful women? Beautiful women? I hear when you're reading English, you're like hesitating. What is that? So you just have to think, I have no desire to accumulate beautiful men.
I don't want to collect a whole, you know, a kingdom full of men or have five husbands like Draupadi or something, you know. Maybe you want, I don't know. But at least Lord Chaitanya is setting an example of being tied and fixed to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Specifically Radharani, I mean Krishna, because he's in Radhabhava. He's teaching his example. What is he teaching his example? He says, I don't want any of that. What do I want? What's the next verse? I don't want all that stuff. You know what I want? And what does he say? I nanda tanajikin karam. I nanda. Huh? Huh? Yeah, he says, I nadanam hari krishna. Nadanam nadanam sundaram. He says, I. So he doesn't want those things, but he wants, I nanda tanajikin karam. Kinkaram. What's kinkaram? Kinkaram means kinkari. Kinkari means manjari. Manjari means I nanda tanuja kinkaram. He says, oh, I nanda. Oh, son of Nanda, Tanuja. Tanuja means son of Nanda. Oh, Nanda, Nanda, Nanda. Oh, Krishna, Kisprasad. I want to be your kinkari. I want to be your maid servant. I don't want any of these things in the material world. I just want bhavatat bhakti ahoita kikri. I want pure devotional service. So when this prayer is very meaningful to us. So let's finish this purport. Thus, though, although we may at first find romantic affairs beautiful and enjoyable, they are eventually spoiled by the onslaught of material nature. In other words, what is the onslaught of material nature? That means time, the time factor. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha doshanu dharshanam. So we may fall in love and have the most wonderful romantic relationship at a certain time, at the time of youth, when the body is strong, the senses are powerful, and the passions are high. But then what happens? The onslaught of material nature takes its toll. The time factor affects everyone. We become old. In time, we become old, jara, and we become vyadhi, disease. And finally, there's death, janma mrityu, mrityu. Janma mrityu, jara vyadhi, confirmed. So, this is the onslaught. You can't maintain that wonderful position of youth or enjoyment. It all gets taken away. Still, it is unreasonable to totally reject the concept of romance. There's reality coming from Krishna. Rather, we should accept conjugal attraction in its absolute, perfect, pure form as it exists within God without a tinge of material lust or selfishness. That pure conjugal attraction, the supreme beauty and pleasure of the supreme truth, is what we are reading about here in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Beauty and pleasure, beauty and love. These are the most powerful forces in the material world, or in any world, also in Krishna's world. Beauty and love. They say love conquers all. So in the material world, there are other forces. There's power, domination, armies and countries and powerful people. But the power of domination is nothing compared to beauty and love. Physical power, financial power, intellectual power, they fade very quickly before the power of beauty and love. It's classic examples throughout history. For the greatest emperors, having thousands of soldiers and powerful armies, becoming defeated by the simple power of a glance of a woman, the eyebrows of a woman, like Caesar and Cleopatra. Caesar was the king of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire went all the way to England. There's a place in England called Bath. B-A-T-H, Bath. You know, we say take a bath, take a shower. So that's the Romans, they used to have public baths. They would all bathe together, all the men and women, and have a big party, I suppose. So they went all the way up to, by Stonehenge, in northern England, and they settled up there, and there's still remnants of Roman Bath. There's even a city called Bath. So the Roman, this Caesar was so far spread out the kingdom. Italy is quite far from England. It's quite a distance, but he was all over Asia Minor and everywhere. And Cleopatra was the queen of, she was the queen of Egypt, another country. And he fell in love with her, isn't it? He was conquered by her. By her beauty, the power of her beauty, the power of her love. So the power of his soldiers and army and might and all that is nothing So this is Krishna's power. It's called Rupa Madhuri. Rupa Madhuri means the sweetness of his form. And Leela Madhuri, Prema Madhuri, and Venu Madhuri. There's four sweetnesses of Krishna that distinguish him from any other form of God. Narayana has 60 qualities, Krishna has 64, and those four are these. They're all sweet, they're all Madhurya. Leela Madhurya, sweet pastime. Venu Madhurya, sweet flute playing. Rupa Madhurya, sweet form, beautiful, all enchanting, all attractive form, Krishna. And what is it? Prema Madhurya. Sweet, sweet love. Sweet, sweet love. For everyone. For every man, every woman, every child, every old person, young person, they can find oceans of sweetness in the loving embrace of Krishna's divine service. So, this is the power of beauty and love, Krishna's Rupa Madhurya and Prema Madhurya. They combine together to completely satisfy the soul and completely attract the whole world and cause the whole world to dance to the sound of his flute. So this type of romantic love between the gopis and Krishna is on the pure platform of transcendence. It's on the pure spiritual platform, which is a platform of dedication, a platform of selflessness, a platform of purity. So Krishna is described in this verse as Atmaram. He's self-satisfied, but he wants to serve his devotees, like Radharani, the gopis, and everyone. Is there any questions on this point? No. No, they're the same. Krishna brings the spiritual world to Vrindavan to show, here it is. Here's what we do there. We have rasa dancing, and we take the cows out, and we bathe in Jamuna, and we splash water, and we play the flute, and we share food, and have picnics, and forest picnics, and boating pastimes, and all the wonderful things we do. So please be attracted over here, oh living entity. Oh, conditioned soul, please see how sweet it is, how wonderful it is, how kind everyone is, how selfless everyone is, how peaceful and joyful everyone is. Please come over here. Please be attracted. So he's same things going here or going there. He brings the whole spiritual world. Then it's all written down by the sages, and then we can have access to it, read about it, hear about it, meditate on it, see paintings of it and sculptures of it, and worship deities in that mood, and this way prepare our consciousness and soften our hearts and allow us to have a vision of that. This transcendence is not limited. Transcendence is not limited by time or space. You say Krishna was here. I say Krishna is here. Not only do I say, but all the sages say. It's called aprakat and prakat. Prakat means manifest to everyone. The demons, the non-devotees, everyone saw Krishna 5,000 years ago. But now no one sees Krishna except the devotees. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanaya. Those of the Bhakti Vilochan, Bhakti Lochan, with the eye of devotion, the bhaktas, they see Krishna now in Vrindavan. So, and they're attracted so much. And they're compelled and forced and drawn and pulled and to go to him and to go to his world. So he came to show the replica, to show the real thing. There's a real thing and a false thing at all times existing. So always they have, people are always separating the real from the false. That is the whole practice in the material world. It's trying, what is the real thing? Where is real friendship? Where is real love? I've had false friends. I had false love. I was married. I thought it was real. Then I found out it was false. This girl, she only married me for my money. She didn't care about me. You know, these rich people in Hollywood or something marry some 20-year-old girl and the guy's a millionaire. He just wants to get his money. And the guy was so in illusion, he thought something different. But then he thought, oh, this is false. So this So Krishna comes to show the absolute truth, the perfect reality, the eternal truth, a real love, real beauty, real romance. So to attract us, that's his benevolence, his kindness, his compassion. There really is a spiritual world, and they really do these things there. And to confirm that, he brought the whole thing here and said, look, here it is. And he leaves it still accessible for those who have the eyes and have the qualifications. Paradise is spiritual world. When Krishna comes, it is paradise.
And
now the influence of the material energy is quite prominent. So Krishna's pastimes are hidden. And 5,000 years ago, they weren't hidden. The beauty was here externally, internally, everything was quite tangible. Tangible, visible, perceivable, touchable, smellable, feelable. But now, you can have all that same experience, but within meditation. Because externally, it's a smelly, dirty, stinky place. It's very clear to anyone who comes here. We've been living here 8 years. So it's very clear. There's nothing hidden there. But even 500 years ago, it's quite externally and physically, the topography of Vrindavan, and it was quite beautiful. The terrain and topography, huge hardwood trees, lakes, streams, waterfalls, deer running everywhere. But that beauty does exist, and it's eternal. Now it's covered. Some slight covering is there. So it is nice, in one sense, that it is like this, because our material desires to remain here, our attachment to want to stay here and enjoy this place will be much less, because there's not much. What kind of place is it? What's here to enjoy? Is it worth staying here? Is it worth trying to enjoy? No. But I want to enjoy somewhere. I want to go somewhere. So let me go to that place. Let me go to Krishna's place, Krishna Loka. This is the part of the positive aspect of a negative environment. The positive aspect of a negative place is it compels you or inspires you to get out. Like people live in the city, what do they want to do? They want to save money, buy a little land in the country, and move to the suburbs. Right? This city is hellish, let's get out of here. Well, we're trying, we're just saving our money. We're going to move out to the country. Peace and happiness. So this world, this material world, stinks. Figuratively and literally. The dealings between people stink. The food stinks. The air stinks. Am I right? So let's go to a sweet world that's very fragrant and celestial and divine and filled with, permeated and pervaded by loving dealings and happiness and transparency and purity. Sounds like a good proposition. And the beauty of it is, although in the Christian philosophy they say pie in the sky, you know, pie, it's up there in the sky, there's heaven, but you don't get to taste it. You can't taste in the sky, you can't taste the pie. The pie has to be in your mouth to taste it. If it's in the sky, a pie, a cake, if it's floating in the sky, someone says, look, you want some cake? It's a pie, look up there. See, 500 miles up, there's a big pie up there. There's a vanilla pie with, a coconut cream pie with, lemon meringue filling. And you just have to fly up there 1,000 miles and you can take a bite out of it. Oh, gee, well, that sounds great, but, thanks a lot. I'm hungry right now. I want some pie right here, right now. I'm here, this pie is there. The Krishna philosophy is like that. The pie is in the sky, and, just be patient. And 80 years from now, you can have one bite. 80 years from now, when you die, and if you're a real good boy, a good girl, pie is Krishna, and you get a piece of the pie. You get a bite. Well, we get our Mahaprasadam every day. We eat Krishna's prasadam every day. We're tasting the pie every day. This is Krishna consciousness. It's near and dear to all because Krishna's in your heart. So we don't have to wait till we die to see the spiritual world. We don't have to wait till we die to take the pie. We don't have to wait till we die to eat the pie. We don't have to wait till we die to experience very deeply and very profoundly the loving relationship and the loving embrace of the sweet absolute. We do have to die in the sense that Hegel told us. Hegel said, you have to die to live. You have to die to live.
Oh,
you have to die to live. Wait a minute. If you die, you're dead. What are you trying to say here? You have to die to live. That means your material conceptions have to die. Your material attachments have to die. Your material impurities have to die. Your material desires have to die. You have to finish them, annihilate them, obliterate them, purify them, get rid of them. Then what can live? The pure soul can live. The Satchitananda existence can live. The life of love can flourish. The life of bliss can be tasted. The life of truth can be seen. So that life, that living, is available if you die. If you die on one side, to live on the other side. You can't live in both worlds at the same time. Christ said, you have to die to live. He said the same thing. If you want to follow me, if you want to follow me, then throw down your material life. Throw down your net. They were all fishermen, right? Just throw down your net, throw down your fishing net, and follow me. Follow me means tyaga, means nivritti marg, the path of renunciation, the path of loving God. Love God with all thy thoughts, words, and deeds. Right? He preached like that. So he taught bhakti, he taught love of God. So this world has to die. If we want to live in that world, we want to live in Vrindavan, then we have to stop living in India. We have to stop living in Germany, France, or wherever you're from, in America. That place has to die. Inside connection and outside connection. That's why Rupa Goswami says one should live in Vrindavan, inside and out. So tomorrow we have another class. Grantharaj Shriman Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Padhi Sri Sanatana Goswami Padhi Sri Srihara Swami Padhi Sri Jiva Goswami Padhi ki Shamakan Radhakan Giri Govardhan ki Gopal Raja ki Sai Gaur Pandi Raje 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 Jai 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 Sri Raje Bolo Raje 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 Jai 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 Sri 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 Raje Radhe 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 Jai 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 Sri Radhe 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 Jai 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 Sri Radhe 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 Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Sri Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Sri Radhe Jai Krishna Jai Krishna Krishna Jai Krishna Jai Sri Krishna
Jai Krishna Jai Krishna Krishna Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Sri Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Radhe Radhe Jai Radhe Jai Sri Radhe
Jai Krishna Jai Krishna Krishna Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna.
Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna. Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna.
Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe. Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe.
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe.
Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna. Jaya Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna.
Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Krishna. Jaya Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna.
Jaya Giri Govardhan, 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 Jaya Giri Govardhan,
Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan,
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe,
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe.
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe.
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Shri Radhe.
Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Shyamakundara Kundgiri Govardhan ki Vikho Bhavaraj ki Jagannath Dev ki Srivara Raman ki Srivara Vinod ki Srikandara Kigiri Hari ki Srivara Govinda Dev ki Srivara Raman ki Shri Radhamadhan Mahan ki Srivara Gopinath ki Vrajabhumi Vrindavan Dham ki Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Govardhan ki Manchakapatavyascha kripa sindhu vaivacha kitanam bhavaneyo vaishnavejo.